堂听 class.com。
Unit 9, Section 1, Tasks 2 and 3. 1.
We eat an early lunch and drink some more champagne, looking down at the Austrian Alps.
2.
3 hours after taking off, we're on the ground in Egypt. We straggle past the armed soldiers who guard Cairo Airport and climb into 3 coaches.
3.
We started drinking free champagne in the special Concorde departure lounge at the airport, and now excitement is high.
4.
The Pyramid of Cheops was considered as one of the 7 wonders of the world, and it was built by 100,000 men.
5.
Nearly everyone has a camera.And already they're taking pictures of each other, of the stewardesses, of the sky outside the window.
6.
Yes, I really believe I'm here now. Yeah, I've seen the pyramid and I've seen the camel and I'm riding on it.
7.
And then we were back once more on Concorde for another supersonic journey, more champagne, another meal, another chance to visit the flight deck.
8.
We seem to be airborne amazingly quickly, climbing steeply away into the morning sky.
9.
We all hope that you've had a very, very pleasant day, and also that we'll see you again.
10.
We're now just heading towards our last turn, which will be a right-hand turn towards Cairo, and just before that we'll be starting to slow up.
11.
Buses packed solid with people, a face pressed against the glass here and there watching us silently as we glide by in our air-conditioned comfort.
Section 2, Tasks 2 and 4.
Oh, I think it's great. Oh, you're absolutely fantastic.
Just to think, a few hours ago we were in England.
Yes, I really believe I'm here now. Yeah, I've seen the pyramid and I've seen the camel and I'm riding on this.
English?
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
What was the main reason for coming on this trip?
The first reason was because I wanted to fly in Concorde, and the other reason was that I wanted to see the pyramids and the things. Some people thought I was crazy, but a lot of people are very envious. They would like to have come as well.
Are you very wealthy or have you just saved up?
I retired from teaching last year. I'm spending part of my lump sum. I decided I was going to enjoy my money while I could.
Absolutely overwhelming. You can't make any comparison with an ordinary aircraft on the Concorde. I never want to fly again ordinary after this at all.
Is the flight on Concorde the main reason you're here?
Yes, darling. It's an ambition and an indulgence. Always wanted to do it. And now I've done it and it's absolutely great.
Are there friends at home who think you're balmy just to spend all this money for a day when for the same money you could go to Florida for 3 weeks?
Of course there are, but they don't have any...They don't have any idea. They had this experience. They know it was worth it. You know you're on Concorde. It lifts you high. It's everything it should be.
It's fantastic. We've flown on Concorde and you've ridden on a camel all in the same day.
One extreme to the other.
What's the most important part of today for you? Was it the flight on Concorde? Is that really what makes it worthwhile?
That's what I came for, really.
Are there friends who say you're balmy spending all this money just for one day out?
No, they're all envious.
Goodbye.
Yes, but I think it's been worth every penny up to now.
Goodbye. I hope we'll come
the
same.
Thank you.
Okay, with the normal takeoff, I didn't notice we were taking off at all. Usually your ears start to pop and you have a tremendous impression of noise. But this was very quiet. My friends at home and have no idea how much money I was spending just for one day.
Do you think it's worth it?
Oh, of course it is. Last week, my wife went to Harrods and she spent about £1,000 in all the departments in Harrods. And this week, I'm doing the same sort of thing by going out to the day on Concorde.
I've been on an ordinary plane, and, well, I've never liked flying, but this flight really has put me quite at ease, as well as the champagne, which you don't normally get on the ordinary plane.
If you've never liked flying...
What am I doing here?
Yes.
Well, I've come with my father, actually, who fancied the idea, and I thought, yes, well, why not, let's go. You know, I can go in to work Monday and start talking to people and say, the pyramids look quite nice and things like this, you know, it's a bit of a one-upmanship, really, isn't it?
It's a very friendly atmosphere on board, too, isn't it? I was wondering before I came whether it would be very wealthy, flashy people. But it's really very, it's just ordinary people.
Well, we wondered who was going to be on it. We don't consider ourselves wealthy or flashy. Perhaps someone who couldn't afford to come does. But we're not flashy or wealthy.
Once in a lifetime thing.
That's right. I shan't do it again. And what a thing you've got to tell everyone. I've popped over to Cairo for the day.
I was rather scared when the camel got to its feet because I thought I was going to fall off. It did feel a little lopsided. But I did hear one of the gentlemen say, if you ride with a relaxed body, let your body move with the camel. And so I relaxed, and it was quite good after that. It's something I just never, ever dreamed I would do, especially at my time of life. I've retired early, and I thought, well, you know, this is it. I shall never go anywhere or do anything very much. I'm not an adventurous sort. But this is so fantastic. It's absolutely unbelievable. I am not a rich person, but I don't think money is so important. You can't take it with you. I have no one to leave it to. And you've got to get your priorities right, I think.
Section 3, Tasks 1 and 3. 1.
I enjoy it, really, because, well, first of all, they pay our salary. They do enjoy looking at what they're getting, and it gives them an insight in the sort of things we're doing up here, and therefore enables them to appreciate what's going on.
2.
Oh, yeah, we'll carry on climbing, either until we've got to decelerate the airplane to arrive in the Cairo FIR subsonic, or until we reach the cruise altitude limit, which is 60,000 feet.
3.
You monitor every track change, and you've got to be fully aware of where the aeroplane is all the time in space, and you've got to know its energy profile too, because, for instance, to slow down, it's at least 100 miles to become subsonic, so you've got to have to be completely clear in your own mind where you are, where you're going next, and what exactly the aeroplane's doing. So although everything's automatic and it does it beautifully, you have to monitor it the whole time.
4.
We're just coming up to South Crete. You'll be able to see Crete out the left side in a moment, and you'll be amazed how quickly, in fact, Crete goes past. We'll cover the length of Crete, I suppose, at the average speed of about 20 miles a minute. But down there, you can see a subsonic airplane going the other way, which gives you some idea of it.
Some idea about its speed.
Oh, yes. And the closing speed of the two airplanes is something like 2,100 miles an hour.
5.
55,700. And we're climbing very gently because as the aeroplane gets lighter and burns off fuel, it slowly climbs, and as a result, it stays at its economical altitude at all times.
6.
Well, when they certificate an aeroplane, or when the CAA certificate an aeroplane, there's certain decals that have got to be put up. And it's dark, of course, but some aeroplanes, you can in fact open a DV window in flight, this is called the direct vision window, when you can open them. And they're useful in certainly older aeroplanes if windscreen wipers either weren't there or weren't working. But on this aeroplane, there's no requirement to open it, and if there were, you couldn't open it anyway.
7.
Oh, Crete's gone. We're now just heading towards our last turn, which will be a right-hand turn towards Cairo, and just before that, we'll be starting to slow up.
8.
It's always special, it's always demanding, and I say that the only thing, you must never relax with it, you know, you must always pay it the attention it deserves.
9.
Well, first of all, I learned to fly with the Air Force as a naval pilot, because the Royal Air Force train all Navy pilots, and then I flew fixed-wing fighters from the deck. Then joined BOAC as it was then on 707s, then 74, still as a first officer, and then a captain on 70s, and then a 6-month course on this aeroplane, which is fairly difficult to pass, quite demanding, but tremendous fun.
10.
Well, we'd all die very quickly because the outside air pressure is about 1.4 psi, which is the sort of pressure required to boil our blood. It's so low that almost instantaneously your blood would boil. The other problem is that you just could not get oxygen to your lungs. Even if one were to put on an ordinary oxygen mask, you couldn't. You'd have to use a very superior pressure demand system, which we've got.
Section 3, Task 4.
Where are we at the moment? Where are we at the moment? How high are we at the moment? How high are we at the moment? So we're still climbing. So we're still climbing. Do you ever get used to flying this aircraft? Do you ever get used to flying this aircraft? Is that really a bother, or is that something you enjoy? Is that really a bother, or is that something you enjoy? And how do you get to fly a Concorde? And how do you get to fly a Concorde? How much does the plane really fly itself? How much does the plane really fly itself? Is that really necessary to have that label there? Is that really necessary to have that label there? What would happen if you could open that window? What would happen if you could open that window? We seem to be making a turn now. Where are we now? We seem to be making a turn now. Where are we now?
Section 4, Task 2.
Distance to Cairo is 2,500 statute miles, and we've got a flight time of 2 hours and 59 minutes. We're powered by four Rolls-Royce Olympus engines, which have reheat or afterburners. And on the takeoff today, they should be providing us with a total of 152,000 pounds of thrust, and that's equivalent to 70,000 shaft horsepower. And the maximum speed the aircraft is permitted to fly at is Mach 2.04, so just over twice the speed of sound. Today we'll be cruising at Mach 2, precisely.
795 pounds is one heck of a lot to pay for one day out. Who on earth can afford a trip like this? Well, clearly quite a lot of people can. With 100 on today's flight, Concorde is full. It's certainly luxurious. We started drinking free champagne in the special Concorde departure lounge at the airport, and now excitement is high as the aircraft surges forward along the runway. The first officer had told us to expect some pretty sporty acceleration on the takeoff, and he was right. We seem to be airborne amazingly quickly, climbing steeply away into the morning sky. I look around at the other passengers. They don't look staggeringly rich, quite like any other party of British tourists off on a package holiday, really. A high proportion of people on their own, some married couples, quite a lot of retired people. Nearly everyone has a camera, and already they're taking pictures of each other, of the stewardesses, of the sky outside the window. What's their first impression of flying on Concorde?
Absolutely overwhelming. You can't make any comparison with an ordinary aircraft in the Concorde. Never want to fly again ordinary after this. So.
Is the flight on Concorde the main reason you're here? Or
yes. Yes, darling. It's an ambition and an indulgence. Always wanted to do it. And now I've done it, and it's absolutely great.
Are there friends at home who think you're balmy just to spend all this money for a day, when for the same money you could go to Florida for 3 weeks?
Of course there are, but they don't have any idea. If they had this experience, they'd know it was worth it. You know you're on Concorde, it lifts you high. It's everything it should be.
Okay, with the normal takeoff, I didn't notice we were taking off at all. Usually your ears start to pop and you have a tremendous impression of noise, but this was very quiet. My friends at home have no idea how much money I was spending just for one day.
But do you think it's worth it?
Oh, of course it is. Last week, my wife went to Harrods, and she spent about £1,000 in all the departments in Harrods, and this week I'm doing the same sort of thing by going out for the day on Concorde.
Well, I've been on an ordinary plane, and well, I've never liked flying, but this flight really has got me quite at ease, as well as the champagne, which you don't normally get on the ordinary flight.
If you've never liked flying...
What am I doing here?
Yes.
Well, I've come with my father, actually, who fancied the idea, and I thought, yes, well, why not, let's go. You know, I can go into work Monday and start talking to people and say, I thought the pyramids looked quite nice and things like this. You know, it's a bit of a one-upmanship, really, isn't it?
It's a very friendly atmosphere on board, too, isn't it? I was wondering, before I came, whether it would be very wealthy, flashy people.
But it's really very, it's just ordinary people.
Well, we wondered who was going to be on it. We don't consider ourselves wealthy or flashy. Perhaps someone who couldn't afford to come does. But we're not flashy or wealthy.
Once in a lifetime thing.
That's right. I shan't do it again. And what a thing to be able to tell everyone. I popped over Cairo for the day.
We eat an early lunch and drink some more champagne, looking down at the Austrian Alps. And then, past Venice, we accelerate and climb to twice the cruising height of any other commercial jet. Then on down the Adriatic and round into the Mediterranean at twice the speed of sound, over 1,300 miles an hour. That's a mile every 3 seconds. 10 miles up, you really can make out the curvature of the Earth. And it looks even better from the flight deck, with the captain pointing out the sights.
Where are we at the moment?
We're just coming up to South Crete. You'll be able to see Crete out the left side in a moment. And you'll be amazed how quickly, in fact, Crete goes past. We'll cover the length of Crete, I suppose, at the average speed of about 20 miles a minute. But down there, you can see a subsonic airplane going the other way, which gives you some idea.
Some idea about
Yes.
speed.
Oh, yes.
And the closing speed of the two airplanes is something like 2,100 miles an hour.
And how high are we at the moment?
55,700. And we're climbing very gently, because as the airplane gets lighter and burns off fuel, it slowly climbs, and as a result, it stays at its economical altitude at all times.
So we are still climbing?
Oh, yeah. We'll carry on climbing, either until we've got to decelerate the airplane to arrive in the Cairo FIR subsonic, or until we reach the cruise altitude limit, which is 60,000 feet.
Do you ever get used to flying this aircraft? Is it always something a bit more special than just the kind of average aircraft that you might fly?
It's always special, it's always demanding. And I say that the only thing, you must never relax with it, you know, you must always pay it the attention it deserves.
You're very generous in allowing passengers to come up and look at the flight deck. Is that really a bother, or is that something you enjoy?
I enjoy it, really, because, well, first of all, they pay our salary. They do enjoy looking at what they're getting. And it gives them an insight in the sort of things we're doing up here, and therefore enables them to appreciate what's going on.
How do you get to fly Concorde? Have you had a long career in other sorts of aircraft and now you've graduated to this?
Well, first of all, I learned to fly with the Air Force as a naval pilot, because the Royal Air Force train all Navy pilots. And then I flew fixed-wing fighters from the deck. Then joined BOAC, as it was then, on 707. Then the 74, still as a first officer, and then a captain on 70s. And then a six-month course on this aeroplane, which is fairly difficult to pass, quite demanding, but tremendous fun.
So comfortable. I mean, all those old movies of pilots going through the sound barrier with their cheeks sagging and looking as though they're going to throw up.
Well, the first time I went through, I was dressed up like a spaceman, diving at the ground like a lunatic in a handbag. Tremendous fun, but, you know, compared to this airplane, absolutely ridiculous.
How much does the plane really fly itself, and how much are you having to monitor a lot of things all the time?
You monitor every track change, and you've got to be fully aware of where the airplane is all the time in space, and you've got to know its energy profile too, because, for instance, to slow down, it's at least 100 miles to become subsonic. So you've got to have to be completely clear in your own mind where you are, where you're going next, and what exactly the airplane's doing. So although everything's automatic and it does it beautifully, you have to monitor it the whole time.
One of the signs I didn't expect to see was a little label over there I can see that says, do not open window in flight. Is that really necessary to have that label there?
Well, when they certificate an aeroplane, or when the CAA certificate an aeroplane, certain decals that have got to be put up. And it's dark, of course, but some aeroplanes can in fact open a DV window in flight. This is called a direct vision window, when you can open them. And they're useful in certainly older aeroplanes if windscreen wipers either weren't there or weren't working. But on this aeroplane, there's no requirement to open it, and if there were, you couldn't open it anyway.
What would happen if you could open that window? What would happen to us now if that window were open?
Well, we'd all die very quickly, because the outside air pressure is about 1.4 psi, which is the sort of pressure required to boil our blood. It's so low that almost instantaneously your blood would boil. The other problem is that you just could not get oxygen to your lungs. Even if one were to put on an ordinary oxygen mask, you couldn't. You'd have to use a very superior pressure demand system, which we've got.
Finally, when we started to talk, we were just coming up to Crete. We seem to be making a turn now. Where are we now?
Oh, Crete's gone. We're now just heading towards our last turn, which would be a right-hand turn towards Cairo. And just before that, we'll be starting to slow up.
3 hours after taking off, we're on the ground in Egypt. We straggle past the armed soldiers who guard Cairo Airport and climb into three coaches. Cairo is warmer than London, but not too hot at this time of the year. The traffic is horrendous. The rule of the road seems to be, if you see a space, charge on into it before anyone else can. Rickety lorries piled high with baskets of tomatoes, buses packed solid with people, a face pressed against the glass here and there, watching us silently as we glide by in our air-conditioned comfort, bicycles, some with two people on them, donkey carts, and a thousand cars and vans fight for every inch of the road. 6 hours later, I spoke to one man from our party who still hadn't worked out which side of the road the Egyptians actually drive on. The guide points out the sites, the 12th century citadel, the River Nile, and eventually the most famous tourist site in the world.
The Pyramid of Cheops was considered as one of the seven wonders of the world, and it was built by 100,000 men. Now, as we got very close to the pyramids, you have an included camel or horse or carriage ride. The ride will take you up to the second pyramid of Khafre.
Every camel driver in Egypt seems to be waiting as we get off the coach, all of them with big grins and all expecting big tips. One man I spoke to gave his driver £2, which was generous, but at the end of the ride, the driver still refused to tell the camel to kneel down so that the man could get off until he'd given him £5 more. I climbed into a tiny horse-drawn carriage with a driver called Jimmy and a lady from Sussex.
Oh, I think it's great. Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
Just something, a few hours ago we were in England.
Yes, I mean, believe I'm here now. Yeah, I've seen the pyramid and I've seen the camel and I'm riding in this.
English?
Yes.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
What was the main reason for coming on this trip?
The first reason was because I wanted to fly in Concorde. And the other reason was that I wanted to see the pyramids and the things. Some people thought I was crazy, but a lot of people are very envious. They would like to have come as well.
Are you very wealthy, or have you just saved up?
I retired from teaching last year. I was spending part of my lump sum. I decided I was going to enjoy my money while I could.
This second pyramid you're building by alabaster, 3 million stone of the big pyramid. It's 137 meter high. The second pyramid. Tally-ho, tally-ho. Welcome, Egypt.
It was quite a ride, and a good deal more comfortable, apparently, than riding up the hill on a camel.
Thank you.
Well done, how was the ride?
Very rough indeed.
And bumpy.
Yes.
Not quite supersonic, though.
It's fantastic. We've flown on Concorde and you've ridden on a camel all in the same day.
One extreme to the other.
What's the most important part of today for you? Was it the flight on Concorde? Is that really what makes it worthwhile?
That's what I came for, really.
Are there friends who say you're balmy spending all this money just for one day out?
No, they're all envious.
Goodbye.
Yes, but I think it's been worth every penny up to now.
Goodbye. I hope we'll come next time. Thank you.
Here's your camel.
Smelly old thing.
That's the way to do it. Look at that. He's racing it back down the hill to get
not
to
me,
somebody
though.
Else.
I was rather scared when the camel got to its feet because I thought I was going to fall off. It did feel a little lopsided. But I did hear one of the gentlemen say, if you ride with a relaxed body, let your body move with the camel. And so I relaxed, and it was quite good after that. It's something I just never, ever dreamed I would do, especially at my time of life. I've retired early, and I thought, well, you know, this is it. I shall never go anywhere or do anything very much. I'm not an adventurous sort. But this is so fantastic. It's absolutely unbelievable. I am not a rich person, but I don't think money is so important. You can't take it with you. I have no one to leave it to. And you've got to get your priorities right, I think.
In all, we had about 7 hours in Egypt. We gazed at the Sphinx. We saw a demonstration of how the ancient Egyptians invented and made papyrus, the earliest known form of paper. We had a buffet lunch by the swimming pool at the Pyramid Holiday Inn. We went to the bazaar, some people buying a host of souvenirs from silver and ivory jewellery to full-size camel saddles and huge brass water jugs. As the light began to fade, we stopped briefly at President Sadat's tomb, and then we were back once more on Concorde for another supersonic journey, more champagne, another meal, another chance to visit the flight deck, and then at 10:30 in the evening, just over 11 hours since we'd left England, we landed at Heathrow.
Taxiing in now to the gate. We should be there in just 2 or 3 minutes' time. Those of you who collect the statistics, we were airborne for 3 hours, and I think that makes it one of the quickest, if not the quickest, flight back from Cairo. Maximum height was 56,000 feet. Maximum speed was 1,360 miles per hour. We, the crew, are very proud of our Concorde, and it does give us a great deal of pleasure to be able to talk to you and to tell you just what we think of it. We all hope that you've had a very, very pleasant day, and also that we'll see you again. Thank you very, very much for travelling with us on the Concorde. And all the crew have asked me to say a special goodbye to you all.